Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Here comes David Akam with numbers in front of him. Akam onto his right foot. It's deflected. And believe it, Nashville has scored in the Texas heat. I swear it's not a mirage. Nashville is on the brink of a glorious heist in the Texas night. 1-0. And there it is. The final whistle is historic. August 12th, 2020. In the most surreal circumstances, the first Major League Soccer win for Nashville SC.
Good morning, Nashville, and welcome to the Morning Drive on 102.5 John Roberts and Joe Rex Road. And also Marquise Munson will be steering this ship once again through uncharted waters. Joe, if you've been looking for good news, ladies and gentlemen of Nashville, it is not a mirage. There is a victory in the column, so it wasn't pretty. You forget about that part of it. Maybe it wasn't pretty. All you remember is the score at the end, 1-0 for Nashville SC over FC Dallas. It is a history-making evening in the world of Major League Soccer.
Huge. I love the call there. Fantastic call. David Akam with the goal. A team aside, going through adversity, don't have their head coach on the sidelines. He is apparently going to meet them there. That's Gary Smith, and they fight through, get a road win, first win in franchise history. So congratulations to John Ingram and everyone at Nashville SC. And like you said, John, making history.
How many times do we start a story out these days by saying, boy, this is kind of a weird story. Let's do it again. Kind of a weird story. For
this year, a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely. Okay, so Gary Smith gets what's called a false positive test for the COVID, but under protocol must have a second negative test. The second negative test did not come back soon enough, so Steve Guppy, the assistant coach, took over the reins. So again, out of a bit of adversity comes this victory. And again, something I don't think anybody in the future is going to really remember that the head coach wasn't there. I don't think they're going to remember the rust that was on the players at the beginning of the ball game, or the match. I'm sorry, it is a match. But there's a ball and a game.
Hey, listen, I'm fine with ball game. It's okay.
Right, so a match, and it's not 1-0, it's 1-0. And right. Therefore, that is the final score. And, you know, down the road, historians will be looking at this as a victory, not about what was going on before the goal or before the game.
Unless Gary Smith gets Wally pipped here. I mean, I suppose, I suppose that's always possible.
It is.
We kid Gary. Of course, we had Gary on not long ago, and he was talking about, you know, just how desperate his team was to play, how hard they've worked. They worked so hard to get ready for the MLS's back tournament. We know how that went. COVID is a constant storyline around this team. And I think it's going to be more likely to be a story around a team if you're in an area where the virus is moving fast and moving around. But you're right. This is going to be remembered as the win and the first win. And you know, hopefully for Nashville SC, the first of many. But, yeah, another strange story around that. And too bad, it seems like there's so many false positives. We're seeing this in the NFL, too. You know, Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions, you have these false positives. But, yeah, I mean, you have to follow the protocol.
Absolutely.
You have to be safe. And so hopefully Gary Smith will be all set on the sideline, and they have a rematch Sunday with these two sides.
Yeah, back at it right again. And hopefully again for Nashville SC that they can continue the ways and you know, knock the rust off a little bit. But what would you expect, though? So when you go to the Orlando, the tournament, and these two teams, these two clubs got sent away because of too many positive tests. But Major League Soccer in and of itself, Joe, crammed 51 games into 35 days. And I think that's the norm these days for these leagues that are trying to get all the games in and trying to fill out these schedules. I mean, really, it is a potpourri of ball games that we get to see these days because everybody's trying to cram these things in and get them done. So really, that's the good side of things. You get a lot of action. But then again, now getting a little bit more back to normal where you have a match, you have a couple days off, and then they're back at it again.
Right. Yeah. So you have Sunday and then it's a week, but then there's there's a lot of midweek. In the next couple of weeks, they have a Wednesday to a Sunday, a Wednesday to a Sunday. So that, like you said, they're cramming them in. Listen, if not for college football doing what it's doing right now, this would be the greatest August ever of sports. I still think you could argue it is because of the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs about to begin. But MLS now contributing to that. And that's really, hey, listen, this is the opportunity they had and lost in July. And now they have several games here in which they will be the Nashville team participating in sports until the Titans start in Denver on Monday night, September 14th.
So Nashville in and of itself is not ready to put fans in the stands. And that's a subject we're going to take up a lot today, Joe, because there's a lot of different people talking about fans, which is in and of itself is a bit of a contradiction right now, because some leagues and some places, they're just talking about getting players on the field, but other leagues and other places are now starting to worry about the fans. And yes, we know, especially in Major League Soccer, we understand the importance of the fans because the Major League Soccer doesn't have the huge TV contract that's bringing in a ton of money. They rely a lot on fans, so they're going to go to places where the municipalities, the local areas, don't allow fans in the stands. But that is going to be a recurring theme today. We promise that there's going to be a lot of stuff on fans, whether or not they're going to be in the stands.
I mean, apparently the Cowboys can play at the Giants and have no fans. And maybe the Giants can play at the Cowboys and have a packed stadium as far as Jerry Jones is concerned. I don't know. It will be all over the map. And by the way, do we know what the attendance was last night? For the Nashville SC match?
I mean, there were fans there. I never really got a good read from TV coverage. But Marquise, what do you think? They said they would do up to 5,000 fans.
Yeah, Drake Hill said yesterday. Yeah,
up to 5,000.
At least up to 5,000.
So. And it was just really hard to tell from TV coverage because everybody's so spread out. But that's the idea, is what you can do these days. And again, back on the fan thing. It amazes me some of the contradictions, and I think, okay, you understand why you will go to Dallas, and that area decides that at a soccer match you can let 5,000 fans in. You come to a different city like Nashville, they decide no fans because of what's going on in that area. But then again, another contradiction: you look at this weekend, the Indy 500, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the single largest venue in terms of fixed seats in the world. 225,000 fixed seats. Now, this was a decision made at Indy by Roger Penske, the man who owns the racetrack. But from facts that he got from the local municipality, they worked together to decide no fans at the Indy 500. But then again, Joe, you can fly into the Indianapolis airport in a packed airplane with a guy right next to you. But then again, once you get there, if you want to go see a ball game or a race, you're not allowed to go in a place where you could separate people by a mile.
Yeah, you would think, like you said, such a massive place, could you get to 50K and feel safe about it? I mean, I know the one thing with any sort of sports crowd is you can separate them while they are sitting and watching the game. And then are you keeping them separated as they go through the concourse and wait for – I know there's going to be concession little stickers on the ground and the bathrooms. I mean, it gets a little bit trickier, but I've wondered if, are we going to be in a situation at some point with people signing waivers. Again, we talk about waivers in all sorts of different forms with sports right now. I don't know, but clearly it's going to be all over the map and – It is strange. It's strange to look at college football and think that the Big Ten is not going to have college football, but they will, in some cases, have campuses loaded with students. I mean, a lot of contradictions in the world right now.
Yeah, and that is what just, I think, is driving people a little bit nuts right now. And another thing we will get to here very shortly is kind of bold of the Big 12. They kind of flex a little bit of muscle, or bowed up, if you will, while everybody else seems to be backing up. They say, man, no, we're full steam ahead. And again, there's that the concept of being the only game in town, if you are, what that could possibly mean. And we did this a lot yesterday, Joe. You follow the money sometimes. If you want answers to something, follow the money, and that's why you find out what's going on. But then again, you are stuck between bringing revenue in for your particular school or risking some type of health problem.
Yeah, risking it, risking a health problem, risking legal problems. It's the Big Ten and Pac-12 presidents explain themselves to some extent. I think that they can be more transparent about why they made that decision. I think that should continue. And I still think that all the information they had will be used by the other leagues. We'll inform them. I'm still skeptical right now, John, about, you know, there's optics right now of forget that, we're pushing forward. I'm still skeptical that ultimately they're going to make that decision. Ultimately, that they're going to push forward. And I could be wrong here, but you know, I'm not surprised at all that right now, in the immediate aftermath of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 doing what they did, that we're hearing these things. Like, we are – I mean, look, Governor Lee had a tweet last night. You know, he just talked to, Chancellor Plowman at Tennessee, and sounds great for football. Like, there's a lot of that right now. Like, we want football.
Absolutely.
Let me raise my hand and say, I want football. The Chancellor of Tennessee went to practice. You want to play? Yes, we want to play. So people are making it clear that if it doesn't happen, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we tried. Yeah, because that's a hard question to answer, you know. But again, we want football. But, you know, I also want a turbo Porsche, and that is not going to happen either. And you know, sometimes when you read into these statements, one of the things I keep hearing in statements from the conferences that are coming out, that it is our intention. They keep using it is our full intention, which is a little bit different than saying, hey, we're playing. It's our full intent to play. If something else, it seems like it leaves a door open.
Yes, and there are a lot of stakeholders, Big 12, the ACC, the SEC right now, who are like, you better not even think about listening to those idiots from Northwestern, right? We play football here. And so there's a look, and I'm not saying the SEC and these other leagues aren't fully exploring it, and maybe they will come to a different conclusion. That may well be. You know, but again, it's the university presidents and in some cases chancellors who are going to make the call. So at some point they'll be in a room with just them. And it's funny how sometimes what's said publicly gets a little bit shifted when it's them with all the medical advice and information and uncertainty, because let's all admit there's a lot of uncertainty. And then lawyers are also there too.
Yes.
We cannot forget them.
What is the old song goes? Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Warren Zevon, baby.
Exactly, yeah. So Joe, I understand that you have been very busy so far, and that is a good sign that this city is excited about Nashville SC, because they needed to call you over to the TV side to get more hype over this thing.
Well, apparently I did not know that throwing an axe was actually kind of like a soccer throw-in. I did not know that, but I just almost got a bullseye.
Joe, you did not almost get a bullseye. I watched it, Joe. Where was the almost bullseye at?
Are you serious? Well, we're going to watch the footage together. Well, I actually had one that really was a bullseye, but the axe did not stick. And people right now are like, what in the world are
okay,
you talking
okay, yeah.
about?
Oh, so you're talking about that one. Oh, okay.
Now, the one
it's
I
the
stuck,
second throw.
I stuck a third one that was a little off bullseye, but I'll take it. I mean, you know, like in a game of cricket, that's a decent score. But, yeah, thanks to Big Joe and Justin Beasley, WSMV Channel 4, they came out with the traveling I got to make sure I get the name of it's a traveling – a Music City axe. So people, axe throwing is kind of a big thing. They actually travel around with the two bullseyes and a bucket full of axes. And you can, and those axes have some heft, by the way. So I got to throw a couple on TV this morning, and it was pretty awesome. So
yeah,
check them out.
So Marquise, I thought it was a euphemism when he came in here. He said, I'm going to go throw an axe. You know, like you say, like you know, if you're going to go give somebody a hard time, you say, I'm going to go drop a bomb on him.
Right, sure.
It was you. But you were actually in the literal sense saying you were going to go throw an axe.
I was. Big Joe makes it happen. Big Joe is
and
driving around every
it looked
morning.
Pretty scary, like, because when they were talking to each other, all you could see is Joe's body with him holding an axe in his hand, and I was like, who is this, like, the headless monster over here?
It was like Friday the 13th scene or something.
Yeah, and then
Jason.
And then they finally panned the camera on Joe, and he was just ready. Now, the first time, he had a good throw, but it hit the ground, and then the second time, that was the almost bullseye that Joe almost hit, but it didn't stick, and then the third time, where he actually stick.
I'm going to let John judge my axe throwing prowess.
No, it was good. It was good throw. Did they tell you to overthrow it?
Hands first? That is, because I would have just, you know, right hand thrown it like a football. But yes, it's a step forward like a with two hands on it. Just really, I mean, just like a soccer throw in. So, if you play soccer or played soccer, you would be good at this. I did not. Still,
Know, and
okay.
I still have never actually literally thrown an axe. I think I have figuratively. Hey, folks, we've got to grab a quick break here. But when we come back, we're going to hear from the assistant coach that filled in on what this game-winning goal means for Nashville moving forward. So we'll grab a break. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5.
Well, I mean, listen, it is one game, and please forgive us for maybe enjoying it more than we would normally. But it's our first win, away from home. You know, we've had the disappointment of what went on in Disney and a lot of the players being in isolation forever. You know, it felt at times that we were in Shawshank down there, you know, the way we were having to live. But listen, they looked after us, but it's been a difficult road for everyone, but they've stuck at it. Like I say, Gary's done a marvellous job in keeping them together. And if anything, I felt like it's brought us all together a little bit closer as well. So, when you put all these things and look at all together and look at, tonight away from home in the heat, having flying on the day, all these things that the players are not used to. First game in, 5 months? To hang in there and to get a win in the manner that we did, hats off.
Assistant coach Steve Guffey on what that win means for Nashville SC. Welcome back once again, everyone. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson with you here. And, you didn't really hear a tremendous amount of emotion in the sound from Coach Guffey, but you got to believe that locker room was just a buzz after that game, and just how exciting it is really for the club and for the soccer fans of the city. You know, everybody is reaching for something sometimes, Joe, when you have something that goes on in Nashville, like over the past couple of months. You know, we started out with a devastating tornado, then like everybody else dealing with a pandemic. So anytime you get a little bright spot, like a victory for the first time of a city's franchise, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And by the way, Steve Guppy, I'm not an expert on British accents, but I would not be able to distinguish Steve Guppy's from Gary Smith. So that's
they sound
amazing.
Very close.
They sound very, very similar. So in terms of voice, it was maybe not that big of a transition for the players, but yeah, and then they deal with that. Certainly, they've been prepared for this game, and I'm sure obviously the rest of the technical staff has a good handle on things. But still, it's a switch. All of a sudden, you lose your head coach. You don't have him over there. You're on the road. You haven't played in a long time. You just got bounced from a tournament. There's a lot into why, even beyond being your first victory, this would be a sweet one for Nashville SC.
Probably a little bit bittersweet, though, for Gary Smith. What happened to him, Joe, was the fact that he got a false positive COVID test and was not allowed to travel until he got a second negative. That did not come back in time. So I think he can take a great amount of pride in that is his victory, but it's got to be a little tough not to be there for a guy that's as fiery of a competitor as anybody. That you reach that level, you want to be there. You want to be there with your players and to witness something like this firsthand. But still, there's got to be a lot of pride for Gary Smith.
Yeah, I'd like to know exactly what he was doing, during the game. I believe I think he was supposed to be traveling.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be there Sunday. But, yeah, what was that like? Because if you put so much into something and then you can't be there, how is he following along, things like that? That'd be interesting to hear. But, good news that, again, it was a false positive. There's too many of those, by the way. We talk about sports and testing and things like that. Clearly – accuracy and quickness of accurate testing is still a thing in sports. That's in life also, by the way. But if we're talking about sports leagues carrying forward, talking about college football, maybe in the spring, for example, another example of how that stuff can still get better. I know there's work being done to get that rapid result testing.
And that was one of the things, Joe, that the Pac-12 put out in their statement saying that they are going to postpone the season. And again, not cancel. I hear a lot of people say canceling. And there's a difference between canceling and postponing. Postponing is what these big conferences have talked about looking forward to potentially spring football. But in the Pac-12 statement, what they said was they not only are they concerned about the health of the student athletes, but because geographically where most of their schools are, that for some reason they don't have as much accurate and rapid testing as there is in other parts of the country, which, again, is kind of hard to grasp, but that was part of their statement.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, their stance and what they said is very different from the Big Ten in that way. Now, some people right now are saying you can't do a spring season. I disagree with those people. I would definitely agree with anyone who says, how could you not have more of a plan right now for it and be able to say more about it? But if there is a spring football season, I think that, and we'll see with the Big 12, ACC, SEC, maybe they play in the fall. So if they could we have a they play in the fall, Big Ten plays in the spring, Pac-12 doesn't play. I mean, that's possible, too. It does not sound good for the Pac-12 in the spring. Again, 5 months. 5 months ago, how much changed?
Everything. Yeah, the world. Yeah. I mean, everything has changed.
So 5 months from now, certainly, you could have some fundamental changes that make things more likely on that front. But to the Pac-12's point, geographically, where you are has so much to do with this. And like in the NFL here, where you are, you know, the Titans are, you know, frankly, just in more jeopardy because of where they are relative to other parts of the country. Some of the Florida teams, same thing.
So when you look at the possibility of having this season go forward, and the Big 12 actually really flexed some muscle, Joe, I think their statement is bolder than just about anybody else's right now saying what their intention is. And again, it's intent, and I think there's something you can read into that. The statement doesn't say, we are playing football, period. They said it is our full intention to play this schedule that they put out. Nine games, nine conference games for a school, plus one another game. There are breaks within the schedule that may allow for more football if I like that thinking that it's at least positive that they're going there, because that could change that way. I mean, everybody's saying right now, Joe, that we're going to change for the negative is what you heard all day yesterday. I said, man, you know, you guys are going forward and all experts are predicting that it's going to be worse in the fall. You put together a football season for your conference and things get worse. Well, there also is the opportunity, what some people are hoping for, and a lot of us are hoping for many reasons, that it gets better. And in that case, if it does get better, you could regroup and even add some games is what some people are banking on.
Okay, so wait, I just want to make sure I had that right. So, like, in other words, beef up your schedule in real time?
You could.
Yeah?
That is a potential. That was what was in also the Big Ten schedule as well, which was, again, a little bit of, they got some criticism for that. Right. They announced the schedule one day, and then, like, what, 3 days later say, oh, ain't playing this year.
Yeah, schedule's fake.
Yeah, right. But when they put their schedule out, that was their intention with those. You know, normally you have one-off weekend for a college football team to regroup. But in this case, there were several off weekends with the intention that if it did get better. And then also what we heard yesterday shot down pretty much in a blaze of glory was the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They were looking at trying to play. They were almost saying, you know, hey, forget you, conference. We're going to go out on our own. And some people had said, okay, look, time out. You got contracts and you got an obligation to this Big Ten conference that welcomed you in, right, and that you owe something to them. And if you are going to go out there and break a contract and play and fill in holes in another conference's schedule, you better be prepared to get some ramifications down the road.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if the Big Ten would actually kick them out. But clearly the Big Ten really unhappy. And again, I'm still blown away by the whole conversation with Nebraska and the rest of the Big Ten. And those breaks also, you know, I mean, look, you expect that you may have outbreaks. You expect that you may have forfeits. And so you have a little more flexibility to move things around. The Big 12 schedule goes all the way till from September 26th to December 5th. So they definitely have built in that space if they need it.
So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. The fan question keeps coming up. But one thing we know for certain, I believe, Joe, is that a lot of people are emotional about this. They get in front of TV cameras, and maybe they don't exactly think before they make a statement. We'll have an example of that when we come back here in just a moment. This is The Morning Drive on 102.5.
I'm reminded that when we opened that stadium, that it was pointed out that if you didn't open the doors at the right time and had the roof open in a certain way that you had an air current through there that pretty is pretty impressive, if you will, a serious, serious air current. Well, actually, it turns out that our stadium, who has one of the largest capacities in the world, our stadium that has over 3 million square feet and can air condition all of it, our stadium also has quite a naturally built airflow that can be very positive relative to protecting and be safe for our fans. Now, that's not all of it, but when we finish showing our fans what and how and what we can do to make it safe to come to the ball games, I'm really proud that we've got that stadium to work with.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Morning Drive on 102.5. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad, and Marquise Munson with you today. Okay, Joe, I love Jerry Jones. Good for football, fun guy, apparently, to be around. I just don't know about his expertise as an epidemiologist here. And the airflow, air current, open the doors, open the wind. I'm questioning
that. Well, maybe everyone could go there and, like, does the stadium just whoosh the virus away?
Maybe. Maybe that big screen. Maybe that big TV screen.
The video screen just, hypnotizes the virus.
Oh, so this is the vaccine, huh? Cowboy Stadium, right?
That is an amazing video screen, I will say.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, there is. I don't know. I have experienced, like, the whoosh effect, actually, at the old Silver Dome. In Pontiac, Michigan, there is a whoosh effect.
That's a thing. That's a real thing.
There is a thing. Yeah, it's like you open the door and you. And
I was going to say define whoosh, but
yeah, and actually, like, you know, when the door is open, and this was, I think this was actually after a Pink Floyd concert, by the way. You know, the whoosh can hold you up. You can just, like, let your weight go back, and it'll. So maybe Jerry's onto something. Hey, look, I don't know, but he's all in on fans. Now, Texas has a 50% capacity rule right
yes.
now. So, in theory, I guess they could have 40,000 or so for a Cowboys game.
Yeah, so
that's a lot of people.
That's another thing that that Jerry went on to say. We may or may not get to that later, but I'll go ahead and say it for Jerry. That Jerry basically was saying, you know, come see us, but you know, you will be taking a certain risk, which I think you know you do anyway. Anytime you go someplace, there's a certain amount of risk involved in going to a sporting event, but being around a lot of people. But when you look at the state of Texas and what's going on there, when they had the NASCAR race, Eddie Gossage had said that he was going to open up 50% capacity of the Texas Motor Speedway. Now, that is about 190,000 seat venue. There was an opportunity, Joe, then there, if you do the math, or what, you know, my 3 years of ninth grade are not really paying off right now, but you know, so maybe you could have put 80,000 people. You could have had up to 80,000. There was nowhere near that. In the state, there were not 90,000 people that wanted to go at that point. But there was the opportunity to go there. And what has happened at these NASCAR venues, now they have been the ones that have put the most fans in the stands so far, especially in the state of Tennessee. They opened up to potentially 30,000 fans at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Bristol Motor Speedway has 164,000 fixed seats. They put somewhere around 20 was the final number. But the Tennessee Department of Health took a very close look at that and afterwards came back and said there were no clusters, there were no spikes after this gathering, which again is a very favorable thing towards putting fans back in the stands. But then again, that is not the bottom line. That's not the do-all, end-all answer, because that was one particular place. And again, the open-air thing, Joe, again, I'm no epidemiologist and I don't try to be one, but when you talk about it, it just seems that open air stadiums are probably the best places to be if you're separated.
Yeah. I'm not one either. I read stuff and there's so much stuff. I've read one thing where it's basically 9 times more likely that you would spread this indoors versus outdoors. Now, of course, if we're going back to Jerry World, they have the open air option. So it's not totally like a closed off stadium, but yeah, I think that's one of those things that most agree on, that, you know, it's like in sports, bubble good, no bubble bad, you know,
yeah.
Open air good, indoors not as good anyway. But that's, you know, that is a good thing with Bristol when you think about go back to March and when it was just starting here and there was, I know, one soccer game in Italy was believed to be basically like a bomb that really spread it in that country. It was just a packed stadium. They had just kind of carried on without any regard for a while, and that turned into a lot of spreading, you know, death, illness, et cetera. So there's some sort of distancing that can work, apparently. But it's still, you know, it's still going to be with a lot of people. It's just, you know, what kind of risk are you willing to, you know, to subject yourself to? And some people are like, yeah, I'm going. I mean, I would not be surprised if the Cowboys were able to have 50% capacity. I would not be surprised if they had 40,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah, I want to go back again to the Mark Cuban concept of the kid rule. Mark Cuban, owner of Dallas Mavericks, he said, you know, look, what I'm doing right now in terms of how I judge things is would I have my children go do something? And right now, Joe, I'll tell you right now, I would send my kids to a football game in an open-air stadium right now and not worry that much about it. I mean, there'd be a little bit of worry there, but I have really no problem with that, especially in an area. Now, as you look forward to, again, you got to remember that this is not up to a coach. This is not up to a team. It's not up to a league. It's up to the local officials as to what you can do and where you can do. So what Jerry Jones is saying, that he fully expects to have fans in attendance at the opener against the Falcons. How many want to go? That's a question. How many will go? That's a question. And it's not going to be the full capacity. You know, I just there's people that are going to opt out and say, look, I can go home, because that's attendance is down everywhere.
Absolutely.
Across sports before a pandemic, because look at what you can do. Okay, I can watch this on this beautiful 90 million inch screen at my house with the bathroom 2 feet away and a beer that only costs a dollar rather than 12. You know, things like that drove fans away in the first place. And now you're asking them to come back. So I think if you do open the venues, you may still have some issues with getting people there.
I no doubt about it. You know, I think with college football in particular, there's the entire atmosphere around a college football game. I think we'll have people back when everything is back. You know, whenever they're playing college football, but you know, when everything is quote unquote back to normal, like that brings people out. But I think NFL, look, stadiums are built in the future. The capacity gets lower and lower. And I do wonder if there's another chunk lost after all this for some people who have kind of discovered what you just said. A lot of people already had. Like, look, I can watch all the games with, you know, Sunday ticket. Yeah. And also now I got my fantasy on my laptop. And so it's already a challenge. And I do wonder what are the lasting effects in a lot of ways in the sports world. You know, college football is one area where the tailgating scene and just being at the game is so different than not being there. You know, just everything around a game. And that's what you have to provide more for people to come out. In the NFL, it's a lot less frills. And, you know, so it will be very interesting. I think a place like Dallas, there's so much passion for that team. Like, that's a place that actually at times could get more people in if they offer more seats.
Oh, yeah, and also same thing, like something like Alabama football. You know, the passion around that drives those huge crowds out there. And again, Joe, it's such a fabric of our lives on a Saturday. If you're not there, you're watching it on TV, and it's just there's such a passion involved.
No doubt. So that passion will either be invested in a half – Power 5 college football season, or the NFL is going to take over your airwaves on Saturdays, I would assume.
When we come back to the Morning Drive, we will once again follow the money, and it will explain why some decisions are being made. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. And welcome back, everyone. This is the Morning Drive on 102.5. John Roberts, Joe Rexroad, and Marquise Munson here with you as we're taking a little bit further look into the costs of what may go on during this season in terms of revenue lost by NFL teams and college football teams. But, Joe, first of all, question for you. Do you remember the old game, Trivial Pursuit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Trivial Pursuit was just big in the 80s, and we played it all the time. So one of the questions in Trivial Pursuit was, which one of the five senses is most closely related to memory?
Wow.
What would you say?
I probably encountered that at some point and got it wrong, so let me get it wrong again. I would say smell. Is that weird to say?
Okay, no. You see, you're right. I said sight. I thought sight because you see something, you remember it. I think people that'll hear this will understand this, because that's why people say when you go for a job interview, don't wear a heavy perfume or a cologne, because if the guy you're interviewing with or the girl you're interviewing with knew somebody that they didn't like that wore that cologne, it would trigger a bad memory.
Wow. I've never heard that.
Okay, so the reason I say this is because the aura of going to a football stadium in the fall, the smell of the grass, the aura, the dew on the grass just takes you right back to the playing days. There was something about the smell and the sense that takes you right back in there to where it all started when people start a season out. You know, it's 7:30 in the morning. You're out there in full gear, knocking the heck out of each other. And there's that aura. There's that smell of the grass and other smells maybe that aren't so pleasant, like the sweat right. That's going all over the place. So when you have those things that come back to you, it just reminds you of just how special something like being at a football game is. And so when you go there as a fan, and I think a racetrack is a lot like that too. Again, the noise, the smell, the sounds of being at a ball game, of being in a venue, and that's something that it might cost us this time around. There's a lot of people that aren't going to be able to get that aura, to get that sense of being at a venue. So if you look, Joe, just at this, some of the numbers, if you break down some of the numbers in terms of what's going on, the NFL stands to lose. If there's no fans across the board. Say there's not a single fan that goes in an NFL stadium this year. They stand to lose $5.5 billion in total revenue. That makes up 30% of their total revenue. So each team, and you look, the teams are different, so they lose a little bit more depending on who you are. So Jerry Jones and his Dallas Cowboys rank number one in terms of total revenue. This is a team that brings in $950 million a year. And the stadium revenue represents $621 million of that. So if you go down to the Tennessee Titans, which finds themselves, they are ranked 28th on said list.
Where's the list that you're looking at?
Forbes.com.
Forbes, okay.
So this is according to Forbes, Tennessee Titans in number 28, $394 million in total revenue. But of that revenue, a little less than a third comes from fans in the stands, $110 million. So we're not talking chump change here. We're talking about a third of a team's revenue. And that's why you got to understand somebody like Jerry Jones and all the people around the league that are looking at what can we do? How can we do this?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's just like there are always, you think of the direct impact, just like with college football, you think of the athletic department, and then you think of, you know, for Tennessee, for Knox County, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of impact. Just like at a football game, you've got your tickets, but you've got all the, you got the, your parking, you got your concessions, you got your beer sales. I mean, you know, merch, obviously. So all that is tied into it. So it's a big thing. I mean, the NFL, if they have the TV product, and this has been said quite a few times by various people in the league, you know, the television product, they are in a secure spot. It's not great. I mean, everyone's taking a bath to some extent, but they're still in a secure spot. I still think relative to college football and some programs in particular that still get massive crowds and so are looking at a massive losses even if they play. But still, those are interesting numbers. And honestly, I would not have guessed those numbers to be quite that big of a piece of the pie.
Yeah, they are big numbers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at something like there's a lot of other sports that get the vast majority. You know, you look sometimes at the regular season Major League Baseball game. That is heavy TV money in Major League Baseball because you just don't see a lot of butts and seats across the board there. So there's different ways to bring back the revenue. And I think that's one thing that the Big 12 has to be looking at in terms of being the only game in town, because TV networks are looking to recoup money. They're losing a lot. Leagues are losing a lot. So say you're one of the very few games in town. If we get there, if we're playing, there's going to be a big hole on a Saturday afternoon that networks are looking to fill, and here is a product of a Big Ten football game that you could put on there. And in that case, it becomes, instead of regional, it becomes national, and the coin just keeps going up and up and up. So there is a there's a very, again, when you follow the money, you understand why some decisions could be made.
Right, and I mean, you look at this from a television perspective. Fox, it was a big coup for Fox to land some of the Big Ten and Pac-12 inventory, right? I mean, they have now, you know, ESPN, ABC always had the big Big Ten game, and now in the last just really I think 3 years or so, 3-4 years, I could look that up, Fox has now had like the either on FS1 or on regular Fox big Big Ten games in particular, but also Pac-12 games. So those are the two leagues now that are out, and meanwhile the Big 12, the SEC, ACC are much more ESPN identified. You know, so if you're ESPN right now, this could really work out well for you in terms of your competition, right? Just because you have contracts at this point with leagues that are playing.
So also, if, again, we get to the point where we're – I mean, we've already lost so much of what was going to occupy – because what do you play college football? I mean, just about every day of the week now, right? I mean, there's a Thursday night game. Sometimes it's across the board.
We know there's no Maction this year.
Yeah.
The Tuesday night late season Maction, that's Mid-American Conference, which would be
that's
like –
that's out.
I mean, those games, I swear, they're always like 54-51. So that's out on a Tuesday. So, yeah, you got less inventory maybe to spread around more.
Yeah, so then that opens up the opportunity that we know. The NFL, I mean, there's slight inkling here and there, but that this is a professional league, billions of dollars. You know, we said $5.5 billion. Is just what they would lose without fans. So if you consider what that whole number was going to be, so then that offers the opportunity for them to televise more games nationally if that Saturday slot is open, like they do with the playoffs, like they do with the championship games. Once you get there, you go to a Saturday schedule. So if there's no other competition, you can look to see a lot more nationally televised NFL games, and therefore TV networks can start recouping some of the money.
That's right. And so, again, I just mentioned Fox with you know, the two leagues, really, that right now we know are not playing. Of course, they've also got an NFL contract. So I would expect Fox to be very, very interested in, yeah, we'll take a prime time. And, of course, all the TV partners in the NFL are going to have to, I'm sure, work together, divvy that up. That's mm-hmm. I mean, the NFL's going to be equitable that way, probably between Fox and CBS. But that's a huge priority for Fox to have stuff move to Saturday now for the NFL if this is where it goes. If, big if, I'm, you know, if the Big 12, ACC, SEC end up making this decision. It won't be, it was never going to be imminent. So just keep that in mind. It was never going to be an immediate domino to fall. No way would they want it to look like they're following the Big 10 in something. But you also want to keep your mind open to that as a possibility.
Yeah, Joe, I had the honor in my career of I hosted the first ever show on Speed Channel, hosted the last ever show on Speed Channel, hosted the first ever live studio show on FS1. And now I guarantee you I ain't going to host the last ever FS1. But here's what Fox's idea was with that whole thing. And I know a lot of people, this may answer some questions for a lot of people that were very interested in the Motorsports Network. The Motorsports Network of Speed Channel for Fox, for the Fox broadcasting, they bought Speed Vision and turned it into Speed Channel. Speed Channel was wonderfully profitable because of the way you could do advertising. You could take, you knew you had males 18 to 34 glued to that network. You knew there were products. I mean, we had advertising and sponsors from automotive companies, you know, the supplement companies, athletic companies. And so Speed Channel was tremendously profitable. In a matter of that short period of time, we went from 65 million households to 85 million households. We had a couple of live NASCAR Cup events, which helped that out quite a bit. And so we're starting to get to the point where we're not with ESPN. I mean, ESPN's still your worldwide leader, no question. But so we got the announcement one day, and it was interesting the way they did it. got everybody in a room, and the video screen kicks in. The loud voice comes, and he said, "You know, and whatever such and such thing." There were three networks: ABC, NBC, CBS. Conventional wisdom says you couldn't have a fourth. In comes Fox, the network. Okay, move ahead to the 80s. There's one 24-hour news network, CNN. Conventional wisdom says you can't have another one. In comes Fox News, the cable channel. And so they said, you know, fast forward to today. There's one 24-hour sports network on there right now, ESPN. Conventional wisdom says you can't have another one. Welcome, FS1. So Speed Channel became FS1. No longer was it, I mean, it was the same network, different name, different colors.
I did not know that.
Yep. That is the way it evolved. Cost about 90 of my good friends their jobs, but it evolved that way. So the idea of FS1 was to take on ESPN toe-to-toe,
right.
Was to do daily news. It flopped big time. They got rid of all their daily news. Then they went to the sports talk aspect of it during the day. That day part, that apparently was a time that it was very profitable. So Colin Cowherd comes over, a lot of the big names.
Vanderbilt alum Skip Bayless.
Yes, absolutely. And Skip Bayless, Colin Cowherd, and
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp, yeah. And but anyway, so and high dollar move there. So what I'm getting at, Joe, is that when you switch a network like that is hugely popular, make a foray into taking on another network, and you hit a thing like this, an obstacle like this, to where you're basing everything on live sports, and you start losing your live sports, this is a tough thing for FS1 and FS2 right now, and ESPN, I'm sure, yeah, on the TV side of thing. And when the TV side is bringing in the kind of money it brings in right now, you then again, I keep saying it, follow the money, but you understand where some of the impetus is coming from here, where some of the pressure is coming from to move these things forward.
No doubt. No question about it. And, you know, ESPN had their own troubles. They had a lot of layoffs and stuff like that too, which some of that is cord cutting, which is just happening. But the live sports is always that foundation that you've got a certain amount of profitability, actually a lot of profitability, because you have that live sports inventory. That is your security blanket. That's your foundation. And yes, TV, again, it's another one of those things with college sports optics. I mean, it was not that long ago, I swear, that college football teams were allowed to have one television game per season.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking the 70s.
Yeah.
One television game per season. You know, this is college athletics. This is college. We're not a TV product like the NFL. And now, of course, like you just said earlier in the segment, we got Tuesday night football. We got Thursday night football, Friday night, Saturday, all over the map. Teams and leagues that are long flights away from each other. All these things that have happened in college sport realignment. It's contrary to this is just university sports. And so television is going to have a big say in all this.
Yeah, and also television, before any pandemic, the way you watch television changed so much. I mean, you know, my kids, our kids growing up, they never really watched TV per se. It was all DVR'd. And now with the cord cutting, it becomes all Netflix, all this appointment television without a commercial. The only place that's left for a decent commercial and a decent bang for your buck is a live sporting event that is going to be what, because you're not going to turn away from that.
That's right.
You're not going to DVR that. You want to watch that live
because
it's sports. So that's where the bang for your buck is. So that's, again, just the far-reaching implications, not just to sports, but the business of it. You know, and we say nonprofit NCAA, but I think we all know where the money lies.
No doubt. You know, think about that. Think about going back to the 80s when you first started, you know, I'm going to record this on my VHS.
Yes, the VHS.
And then fast forward the commercials. That was a big red flag, right?
Yep.
And now, as you said, I mean, people just aren't used to sitting through commercials.
Don't really watch commercials anymore.
Yeah.
You're either recording it, unless
except
it's
for that
live,
one thing.
Live sports. All right, so we got to take us a quick break here on the Morning Drive on 102.5. But when we come back, who, if anybody, does Nebraska have to apologize to?
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com.
Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.